Pro Con Show with Dana DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. Pat Brady, long-suffering head of the Illinois Republican Party, formerly there in that post, is standing by. And, well, Pat, I guess the question is, Donald Trump is taking the stage in Daytona Beach, Florida. We're going to dip into him in just a few moments here. Has he screwed said pooch?
Well, as Anna just said, off mic here, he's got that campaign buttoned up. He's a well-disciplined candidate.
So buttoned
he's
up.
He's on message. I would say not quite, but it's getting close.
What does he, can he pull it out of the fire? Newt Gingrich seems to think he, what does this tell us? That Newt Gingrich has said, well, I don't know. It doesn't seem to be really working for me.
He said self-destructive is what he called it.
Well, he has to run a perfect race to win anyway, electorally. It's not a direct election. It's electoral college. And he's got to win a certain number of states and do it perfectly. And we're into August now, and it's not going perfectly, to put it mildly.
Do you read anything into is this just a news report that the Republicans are now scrambling to see what would happen, take a look at, you know, the rules of the Republican Party? Should Trump not be the candidate? Should he back out? Is there anything going on there?
Can you imagine Donald Trump admitting he was wrong and the campaign was a mistake and he's sorry? I don't think it's happening.
No.
And it's too late anyway. But the bigger problem, too, is I haven't seen his fundraising numbers. I did see her. She had $91 million last month. So she's going to have about a 10-to-1 money advantage.
I think he was $30 million or something.
Was it 30 for July? But it was 51 for the month before. But either way, she's going to have a huge advantage. So the long answer to your question, I don't know, but I think as Republicans, we should concentrate on Senator Kirk and Bob Dole and some of the races that are important so we don't turn the keys to the entire kingdom over to the Clintons.
Well, you see, here's the problem, Pat, is that I started to think about what Trump has done
with the rest of the races. I mean, when he comes out, he says he's not endorsing Paul Ryan, but then his vice presidential candidate does. And then the vice presidential candidate says, well, and Donald Trump told me to very strongly I should do this. He basically is saying, screw everybody but himself. Unless you are on Team Trump, and politics doesn't work like that.
Nope. It's a team game. And why you would pick a fight with a guy in a state like Paul Ryan that he needs to win, who's very popular in that state, and is really still very popular in the Republican Party, that's not unity. It's going the other direction. It's a math game, too. You need a certain amount of Republicans to win, and he's below that number right now.
Well, here was what was crazy. One of what was crazy, they put CNN put the opponent on today, Paul Ryan's opponent, and this guy was out of his mind. I mean, it was like it was such a mistake to go with this guy, because even by Trump standards, this guy isn't ready for prime time.
I agree, and Paul Ryan's going to win, and he'll win big up there. But what message does it send to the rest of the Republicans that are going to have to hold their noses and vote for Trump when you're not even supporting the Speaker of the House? You know, Paul Ryan's the highest ranking Republican right now, and he's not supporting him. So I think that says more to the unity. And again, it's all about Donald. And this could be a potential real train wreck for Republicans if something doesn't change.
Yeah.
And that's an understatement of the year.
Yeah. Well said. Well said. Really? Well, I think this was the fear, right? This was the fear that Republicans had that he was going to bring down the party. But then there was like a little moment of hope around the convention of, well, maybe there's enough people if everybody gets on board and you know, everybody gets an oar into the water and we navigate around the guy. And if he sticks on the teleprompter and his speech, although a little sort of far afield.
A little long.
Yeah. On his big convention speech. But, it hit on. It wasn't out of the realm of what would be a convention speech, right? I mean, it was kind of there. Mm-hmm.
But he does help Republicans, Illinois House Republicans downstate. I've been told by some smart Democrats that run campaigns that he helps us as much as 10 points down there. And I was talking to some people today.
How is that possible, though?
Well, it's a different, he did very well down there, like Rick Santorum did in the last election. He won all those counties down there. And there are a lot of Trump people down there, south of I-64, south of I-74, that like his message and even Democrats that would come over and vote for Republicans. But if he implodes so badly, that might not happen.
Really?
Who knows? You know, I've been right all the way through, Ro. I told you that Trump was not going to be the nominee.
Who has been right on guessing this election?
Yeah, certainly,
predicting what's
certainly
going to happen.
None of us, no.
But have you seen a worse election, at least in my lifetime, of two candidates that nobody likes and nobody wants? Although I just watched Hillary Clinton do she was doing an event, where she was pointing out that Donald Trump manufactures all his products in different countries, and it was very effective because she was talking and not screaming.
Mm-hmm. Well, she was taking money. Her Clinton Foundation is taking money from a lot of different countries. It seems like, you know, there's something going on there as well. You asked about fundraising. Apparently, he saw a fundraising surge in July. He took in $80 million.
So to her
90.
To her 90, but she's still up about $600 million.
To date. Now, the question is, did he throw any of his own money in there?
You know, it's a loan. And technically, at the end of May, the campaign was bankrupt because they owed him, I don't know, hundreds of millions of dollars. So, yeah, it seems like they have money, but nothing like she's got and nothing like the infrastructure she has.
But he can forgive the loan and then write that off, right?
I don't know if it's called a write-off, but he can forgive it. Yeah, exactly. That's what they do. The candidates loan themselves the money, and then if they raise money afterwards,
They replace it.
That's why I never go to those fundraisers.
And then what happens, even after a guy's out of office? I always wonder what that's about. Yeah.
Sure, I'll give you a check.
Yeah, no, this is this money goes straight to me. What are the rules on that, by the way? The money that he raises here, can he convert that to his own money?
I don't think at the federal level you can. It used to be at the state level. I don't think you can anymore, because remember when Rostenkowski went one more term?
And then he had to,
when he got indicted and then he couldn't keep the money. I think that's accurate. I think at the state level you can still keep some of it, but I'm not exactly sure.
Right. At the state, that's why these guys run for office at the state level, right?
Yeah, but seriously, for Republicans, they really have to think long and hard about start concentrate on some of these down ticket races, because if we give up the Senate and lose our numbers in the House, we won't lose the House. Hillary Clinton's going to be Hillary Clinton 92, 93, not Bill Clinton when he was a conservative.
How is that looking, do you think, overall? I mean, all the focus has been on the presidential election, that we're not talking about that as much as probably we should.
Yeah, I've actually seen some good poll numbers on Senator Kirk, who's ahead of Tammy Duckworth right now. And I've seen numbers from the Kirk campaign where he's really differentiated himself from Trump with the groups that Trump's insulted, that women and Hispanics, and been, I think, positioned himself well as independent.
Can't you do that in Illinois? I mean, this is your expertise. In Illinois, it's a very different state than it would be in Texas or Oklahoma or Nebraska or Missouri, even, that when you go, and or even just talk about the key states here, right? Florida, North Carolina, Virginia, New Hampshire, Pennsylvania,
but you're talking
Ohio.
You're talking House gerrymandered seats that are going to go, it's got hard to change because the maps in 2010 were drawn so much to favor Republicans because we picked up so much in the 2010 election. Now, the Senate's a different story, but got Rubio. We have Mark Kirk doing better. That's the people that were closely contested races.
They could lose the Senate here. And John McCain, by not endorsing John McCain, Donald Trump may have cost Republicans the Senate. I mean, if the Democrat wins.
Does his endorsement really mean that much for John McCain?
Well, you know what? Their primary is coming up. He'll win the primary. In a state like Arizona, though, with the Hispanic population, I think today actually probably helps McCain. Because he's the anti-immigrant stuff, and McCain's really been good in Arizona with the
right.
Hispanics, very good. And in fact, he got a pretty high percentage, a little less than George Bush did, running for president. But yeah, he could. I think it's likely he costs us the Senate. The good news is, when we turn around in 18, we'll get the Senate back if Hillary's the president. I think.
Is it too late for me to run?
No, I wouldn't. If Trump gets out, I don't know what. I just saw an ad from the Green Party candidate, this Jill Stein.
Mm-hmm.
Very effective. If you don't like either of these two people, vote for me. And if you don't know what it's all about, it's a very good ad. Really good ad.
Yeah. And tonight, the Libertarians are going on CNN for an hour for a town hall.
Mm-hmm.
Although Gary Johnson, we interviewed him last week. Seems like a very nice man. He does not have the dynamics, I think, to be effective. Bill Weld.
He's pretty good.
They should flip that ticket.
Yeah, we talked about that right before their convention. Remember that it was not quite sure if it was going to be Johnson or Weld. Weld is a former Massachusetts governor. He was a former U.S. attorney there. But on the flip side, Gary Johnson, if you look at his record as governor of New Mexico, was a very conservative governor fiscally and actually did a pretty good job as governor. And he did, and I give him credit, more so for honesty and integrity than anybody I've ever seen. He admitted he's going to quit smoking pot when he's running for president, which I thought was...
He hasn't.
Yeah,
I can tell you that right now. If our interview with him was any indication, I'm going to guess he was stoned to the bejesus.
It was strange. He asked for our Cool Ranch Doritos. I just didn't know what was going on. Yeah. The CNN poll that's out right now is showing that he is now polling at 15%, Gary Johnson, in the Midwest, 15%.
what's he nationally? Because 15% gets him into the debates.
I think he's still 9 at around 9 nationally, but it shows that he's got strong support here in the Midwest.
Yeah.
Cool. I want to know what he ate before he sat down with us. Because at some point, his one eye is sort of closed. And I'm like, you got to wake up, sir.
He's probably doing Governor? So many interviews in mm-hmm. a row. You got to cut him some slack for that. There wasn't a lot of energy projected about himself or the campaign. I agree. But
he does those ultra marathons. He ran 100 miles, did a 600-mile bike ride. That's a lot of smoking pot.
Yep. All right.
You guys.
No more cookies.
Who hasn't gotten high and run 100 miles?
In their head.
Right.
Young Kevin Powell.
Right. All right. Speaking of youth, here's Violetta Pidermedic with the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.